Leonard Cohen joined the Mount Baldy Zen Center in 1994, and he was ordained a monk. For many years, he acted as an assistant to Roshi, a Zen teacher and the founder of the Mount Baldy Monastery. Leonard wrote much of the Book of Longing when he was there, but also in India, Greece, and his hometown of Montreal. Here is my conversation with Leonard Cohen from May 2006. Leonard Cohen is really there. Hi.
Hi, Sheila.
How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me back again.
It is such a great pleasure. It's a good thing I'm in Vancouver. But I did put my lipstick on.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture of you. Which
oh,
is,
no.
Propped up on the
microphone
stand.
That's the school marm picture. And if you don't behave, that finger will point at you.
Okay.
It's an awful picture. But let me talk about the picture on the cover of your book. It's the sweetest bird I've ever seen. It's so cute. You almost threw this one out.
Yeah, right.
You crumpled it up and put it in the garbage.
Yeah. I found it and...
And ironed it out?
Ironed it out, and it seems to represent the book well, which is a kind of lighthearted book with I think a kind of innocence about it. It doesn't really pretend to be much, the book, and that's what I like about it.
It's a very playful book. Although it has prompted some to call you the poet of the apocalypse. What do you make of that?
I don't know. You become pretty thick-skinned after a while. People say all kinds of things about your work. It's very nice that they say anything to tell you the truth, especially about a book of poems.
There's a poem midway through the collection that's called Delay, and there's a line that goes, I was able to delay this book well beyond the end of the 20th century. What took so long?
I don't know, but a friend of mine called this book the Book of Prolonging.
I love that. That's really nice.
It was so long in the preparation.
Some of the poems were written during your time at Mount Baldy. How did writing fit into your life, into your day-to-day life there, Leonard?
Well, there were moments I could scribble. I was cooking mostly, cooking and cleaning for Roshi, the central figure in the Zen Center. I just had tea with him a couple of weeks ago. It was his 99th birthday.
Oh.
And he's in radiant health and top of his game, actually. So I was cooking 3 meals a day for him and helping him around. And there was time here and there for writing. And I actually had a keyboard up there, too, so I was able to do some composing, too.
Did you draw there, too?
Well, yeah, I don't consider myself an artist, but these are kind of doodles that, barely deserve to exist. But, as a window into the poems or out of the poems, I think they have a certain value.
The book is full of your drawings and self-portraits and often with funny little captions. What do you see when you look at your face?
I that's what I'm trying to determine in these pictures. Just as a curious exercise, I did a self-portrait every morning for a couple of years, so I have about 600 of them, and I would just jot down, whatever random thought occurred. But it was just a way to start the day. Getting older, of course, is the only game in town. It is really a very, very interesting process. My friend Leighton called it the inescapable lousiness of growing old. But I don't know if I subscribe to this. I think it takes about 65 years to find your way around the block.
There's a nice little drawing of Irving Layton, too.
Yes, that drawing of Irving Layton is based on a on a photo by Laszlo, who's a great Canadian photographer. And that's what he looked like to me in the last days when I would visit him.
Can we go to Leighton's question, which is page 87?
Page 87.
Even the way you say that sounds like a poem.
Here we go. Leighton's question. Always after I tell him what I intend to do next, Leighton solemnly inquires, "Leonard, are you sure you're doing the wrong thing?"
I love that.
And he used to do that. That's a found poem because he always used to do that.
It's really nice. There's a poem called Fun on page 49, which I'd love you to read too.
Page 49.
Yep.
It is so much fun to believe in God. You must try it sometime. Try it now and find out whether or not God wants you to believe in him.
That's fun. Poem's fun, too.
Yep.
Religion and spirituality have underpinned your writing for some time. When you went to Mount Baldy, what were you looking for spiritually?
Well, I was drinking 3 bottles of wine every night on a concert tour. One of the things I was looking for was a rest.
Yeah.
Not the schedule in a monastery is very restful, but I had the feeling that my life had kind of gotten very chaotic. And I didn't really have any other place to go. And Roshi was getting old, and so was I. So I thought it would be appropriate to spend some time with him. I've always said this, that it wasn't that I was interested in Buddhism or even a spiritual practice. I had a perfectly good religion, and I wasn't really looking for a religion. But what I was looking for was a kind of structure of significance, where I could be helpful and also tidy myself up.
Mm. Why did you leave Mount Baldy?
I felt that my stay had... I felt I'd been there long enough, and I'm never really certain why I'm doing anything, but I found myself saying to Roshi, that I think it's time to go down the hill for a little while. And he said, "How long?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, goodbye."
Has he come down the hill to see you?
Oh, yes, he comes down a lot because there's several centers in cities in Los Angeles and New Mexico, a few other places, Montreal, too.
Do you still cook for him?
I often bring him a chicken soup. He liked my chicken soup a lot. And I have cooked a little for him, but mostly we meet now, and someone else is cooking. He has other attendants now.
Well, I'm speaking to Leonard Cohen, and the occasion that brings him into our studio again this year is his book, The Book of Longing. I haven't talked to you about longing at all. What do you long for?
I think I've exhausted my longing now. Nothing arises. I don't know where it is, but it says, I don't know where that is. Something about he longed for something, but now that he couldn't have it, everything was okay. Oh, yes, here it is. Here it is. It's on page
210. Is it just like that?
210. It says, only one thing made him happy, and now that it was gone, everything made him happy.
Mm, that's so nice. It's so satisfying. Can I get you to read Disturbed This Morning, which is on page 31?
Okay.
Because this is, there's some love here. There's hot stuff.
Disturbed This Morning. Ah, that. That's what I was so disturbed about this morning. my desire has come back, and I want you again. I was doing so fine. I was above it all. The boys and girls were beautiful, and I was an old man, loving everyone. And now I want you again. I want your absolute attention. Your underwear rolled down in a hurry, still hanging on one foot, and nothing on my mind but to be inside the only place that has no inside and no outside.
That's Leonard Cohen and a poem called Disturbed this morning. How do you feel about that force that's driven, that's just powered so much of your work?
I'm happy to bring anything to completion. It's such a curious activity, you know, writing about the things that touch you deepest. In a certain sense, you become the witness to the whole enterprise, and you feel yourself churning or emotions activated, and yet you don't really feel them. You just describe them.
Hmm. There's a poem, A Life of Errands, and you write with humor. There's a lot of humor in this collection about someone who drives around running errands.
Right.
Living a kind of life that maybe isn't examined too much.
Right. If you're lucky enough to live long enough to live a life of errands.
So there is an attraction to that kind of life.
Yes, I think it is. It's very satisfying, you know, just to do the little things.
Hmm. I wonder if we've got time, we do, to read titles, which is on page 159.
Page 159.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Titles. I had the title poet. And maybe I was one for a while. Also, the title singer was kindly accorded me, even though I could barely carry a tune. For many years, I was known as a monk. I shaved my head and wore robes and got up very early. I hated everyone, but I acted generously, and no one found me out. My reputation as a ladies' man was a joke. It caused me to laugh bitterly through the 10,000 nights I spent alone. From a third-story window above the Parc de Portugal, I've watched the snow come down all day. As usual, there's no one here. There never is. Mercifully, the inner conversation is canceled by the white noise of winter. I am neither the mind, the intellect, nor the silent voice within. That's also canceled. And now, gentle reader, in what name, in whose name do you come to idle with me in these luxurious and dwindling realms of aimless privacy?
That's a lovely poem, too. Lots of titles.
Lots of titles. Lots of titles. Hang around long enough and you'll get lots of titles.
There's a symbol throughout the book that looks like the unified heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two hearts entwined. It looks like the Star of David a little.
Mm-hmm.
What does the symbol mean to you?
I'm not sure. I developed that symbol for the cover of a book I wrote many years ago called Book of Mercy. It seemed to be a kind of transcendent Star of David, but it also was a version of the yin yang or any of those symbols that attempt to incorporate the polarities and try to transcend to reconcile the differences.
I want to play, if I may, from Anjani's, your collaboration with Anjani, Blue Alert, Thanks for the Dance.
Ah, that's a lovely song.
It is nice. And I think I'm going to go and play it right now. Will you stay with me?
Oh, I sure will.
Okay. Here it is. Thanks for the dance.
Thanks for the dance. I'm sorry you're tired. The evening has hardly begun. Thanks for the dance. Try to look inspired. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. There's a rose in my hair. My shoulders are bare. I've been wearing this costume forever. Turn up the music, pour out the wine. Stop at the surface, the surface is fine. We don't need to go any deeper. For the dance and the baby I carried, it was almost a daughter or a son. And there's nothing to do but to wonder if you are as hopeless as me and as decent. We're joined in the spirit, joined at the hip, joined in the panic, wondering if we've come to some sort of agreement. La 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 la. It was fine, it was fast. I was first, I was last. In line at the temple of pleasure. But the green was so green, and the blue was so blue. I was so I, and you were so you. The crisis was light as a feather. The dance, it was hell, it was swell, it was fun. Thanks for all the dances. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. Thanks for the dance.
Anjanee from Blue Alert, produced by Leonard Cohen, and a song of theirs called Thanks for the Dance. And I think that completes it for me. Thank
you. I
love
that song.
It's beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. So I want to say thank you, too.
Thank you so much, Sheila. Nice talking to you, too.
Nice to talk to you as well. Thanks for this nice little book, too. Leonard Cohen's Book of Longing, is published by McClelland and Stewart. My 2006 conversation with Leonard Cohen about his collection, The Book of Longing.